Okay. I'm on. Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming. My fantastic student Noah is handing out source sheets, but as she's handing them out, I'm going to apologize because, and I noticed this after I'd already printed them out, sometimes it happens with Hebrew, like when you print out Hebrew, the formatting is a little bit off, so they may be a little hard to follow. So I'm going to give everybody, if you have a tablet or if you have a smartphone, there's actually a link that you can access the source sheet, and it'll be a little more readable. If not, I mean, these aren't terrible, they're just harder. And while I'm recording, because this is going to be posted online, the link is www.evernote.com/pub/BethJKirshner/sources. So, well, before I just hand them out, does anybody have a tablet that would like this? You can also, it makes it easy to access it if you'd like it for the future. I'll keep them up here. Wow. Yay. Thanks for coming, everybody. It's exciting. I do have to get permission. My mother's here. Yay. I do need permission from my mother to teach Torah before her. Thank you. Because you're supposed to ask permission from those who are greater in learning than you are. And my mother and my father are... It is. Because really, I should be learning from her. She's my mother. She shouldn't be learning from me. So I need her permission to teach her because really, she's the greater of the two of us. And I'll tell you the truth. You know, Shali v'shalachem, Shalahi is what Rabbi Akiva said. Everything that I'm able to learn and that I'm able to impart to you is because of my parents, because that is the house I was raised in. So if we look at the first source on your sheet, it's a quote from the Gemara. Oh my gosh, it just says Bavli. It doesn't say, it's Masechet Ta'anit, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Lama Nimshalu Divrei Torah Ka'et? Why are the words of Torah compared to a tree? How do we know that they're compared to a tree? The pasuk in Mishlei says, Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba. The Torah is a tree of life to those that hold on to it. So why is the Torah compared to a tree? Lo mar lecha, because it tells you, ma eitz katan madlik et hagadol, just like a small branch is able to ignite a large branch. Af talmidei chachamim, the same is true for those who learn Torah. Kitanim mechadidim et hagdolim. Sometimes people who are scholars on a smaller scale sharpen scholars on a larger scale. V'hainu d'amar Rabbi Chanina, and this is what Rabbi Chanina meant when he said, Harbe lamadati me rabotai. I've learned a lot from my teachers, umechaveirai yoter me rabotai, and from my colleagues, I've learned even more than I learned from my teachers, umitalmidai yoter mi kulan. But I've learned the most from my students. And this past year, I had the great, great privilege to teach Bereishit to an extraordinary group of young women, and they just graduated from Ida Crown. And in the class, we engaged in just wonderful debates and discussions on the text. And yay, she's here. I can't believe it. When I wrote this, I was like, I had no clue that she would come. After learning a piece of Mora Nevuchim with her father, one of my students, and here she is. Say hi, Rachel. One of my students actually contacted me to reopen a discussion that we'd had on the sin and punishment of Adam and Chava and Gan Eden, and so that's what I want to share with you today, is kind of that discussion. When Adam was created, the Pasuk tells us, and this is source number 2, Bereishit Parak Bet Pesukim Tet Vav Tet Zayin Yud Zayin. Vayikach Hashem Elokim et Adam. God took the man, Vayinicheu b'Gan Eden, and he placed him in Gan Eden la'avdal l'shamra, to work in it and to guard it. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam l'imor, and Hashem commanded man, saying, Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochal. You should eat from all of the different trees in the garden. Ume Eitz Hadat Tovara Lo Tochal Limanu. But from the tree of knowledge of good and bad, you will not eat from it. That's the one you may not eat from. Ki biyom achalcha mimenu, because on the day that you eat from it, mot tamut, you will die. So the Ramban asks a pretty basic question. He says, how can it be? How could God say that on the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadat, you're going to die? Because we know that that didn't happen. Adam and Chava did eat from the Eitz Hadat, and they didn't die, right? So the Ramban says the following. He answers, well, give a little preface. He answers by bringing what's a machloket in the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Hei Amud Bet, between the Anshei HaTeva and Chazal. And the machloket really is whether or not man was supposed to die. When man was created, was he supposed to live forever or was he supposed to die? And the Anshei HaTeva say, yeah, man was always supposed to die because he's a combination of the spiritual and the physical. And so that physical component of man makes it that, again, by nature, he's going to die. But what the chait causes is that when he dies, he's held accountable for his sins. He will now die bechet o. Chazal actually say, and it's, I think, the third line in the Ramban in Source 2, Ilmale shechata, Chazal say, had man not sinned, lo mate leolam, he never would have died. He would have lived forever. Ki hanshama ha'alyonit no tenet lo chayim la'ad. Because the spiritual part in him, his neshama, would have given him eternal life. Right? So the Ramban takes these two opinions and he kind of brings a resolution between them. And he says, I'm sorry, I'm just finding the right place. It's the third to bottom line. Aval ledat anshei ha'emuna ha'omrim ki ha'olam mechudash b'chevetz Elohi pashut. Right? People who have true faith in God say that everything in the world is renewed, continues to exist, based on God's will. Right? Either way, based on the will of God. Right? So why does one tree continue to grow and another tree rots, right? That's based on the will of God. So everything in the world continues to exist based on the will of God. So gam hakiyum yiyah bo la'ad kol yimei ha'chefetz. So man living eternally is also for as long as God would want it, right? So im kain, I'm going to that bottom line. So since this is true, when God says biyom achalcha mimenu mot tamut, on the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadat, you will die, she'az tiyeh ben mavet. It means on that day, you will be someone who will die. Lo titkayem la'ad b'cheftzi. I no longer want Adam to live forever. And as the Anshei HaTeva say, then man will die b'chet'o. Right? So that's the opinion of the Ramban. But what is it about the Eitz Hadat that makes it have such a tremendous effect on mankind, right? I think that to understand it, we have to like really contemplate the full name. We call it the Eitz Hadat, but really when we call it the Eitz Hadat, that's abbreviating it, right? And again, if you look at Source 3, this is where the Eitz Hadat is first introduced, earlier than the pasuk we had before. It's Bereishit Perek Bet Pasuk Tet. The pasuk says, "Vayitzmach Hashem Elokim min ha'adama kol etz nechmad l'mar'eh v'tov l'ma'achal." Right? God made grow from the ground all types of trees that were beautiful to look at, and the fruits were good to eat. And ve'etz ha'chaim b'toch hagan, God placed the tree of life in the middle of the garden. Ve'etz hadat tovara, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? So literally, the Eitz Hadat Tov V'ra, if it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, at its simplest level, what does that tell us? It tells us that somebody who eats from this tree knows of the existence of Tov and Ra. Right? The tree of knowledge of good and bad, so you know of the existence of good and the existence of bad. So why is that significant? What does that tell us? The Ramban explains, and we'll get into the actual text in a minute, but the Ramban explains that man's original nature was to do whatever actions he needed to do, but without emotion, right? He's not doing what he needs to do because of love or because of hate or anger or desire, right? But what he says, and this is the underlined part, Upri ha'ilan hazeh haya molid haratzon v'hachefetz, eating the fruit of this tree creates the desire and the will, sheyivcheru ochlav bedavar o behafcho letov o lera, that those who eat it would choose either to do something or to do its opposite, to for a reason that will cause good or for a reason that will cause bad, right? And if you jump down to that second underlined part, v'hine achre achlo min ha'etz, after man eats from the tree, ha'ita b'yado ha'bechira, he gains choice, he gains free choice, uvirtzono, and he can decide lehara o lehetev bein lo bein la'acherim, whether to do bad or whether to do good, either to himself or to others. So at the moment of eating the fruit from the Eitz Hadaat, according to the Ramban, man has bechira, he has free choice. And it's within his ability to do good or bad to himself or to others. But the Ramban says, "Vizo mida Elohit mitzad echad." So in a way, since man has power to affect the lives of others, this is a godly attribute. This is something that God only has. V'ra'ala adam biyotlo b'yetzar v'ta'ava. So it's not good for man to have the ability to affect the lives of others. He can choose to do good or bad to someone else because man is influenced by his nature and by his emotions, right? And if we think practically, we know so many stories where people are emotional, they're angry, they're jealous, and they cause very terrible things to happen, right? So the Ramban says, well, that's not necessarily a good thing. So before eating from the Eitz Hadaat, Tovira, man has action without it being preceded necessarily by emotion. And so then we can understand the pasuk that comes right before the story of Adam and Chava eating the fruit, and it's source 4, Breishit Perek Bet, pasuk Chaf Hei, Vayiyu Shnehem Arumim Ha'adam V'ishto V'lo Yitboshashu. Right? Man and his wife were both naked, but they weren't ashamed. They didn't have an awareness of what it means to be naked, right? They had no emotion attached to it. And Rashi says there, v'lo yitboshashu, why were they not ashamed? Why were they not aware of what it means to be naked? Shelo hayu yodim derech tzniut lehavchin beim tov l'ra. They didn't know the ways of tzniut, the ways of modesty, to differentiate between good or bad. To them, being naked was just a fact, right? It wasn't a good thing, it wasn't a bad thing, it just was. V'afal pisha natna bo de'a likrot shemot. Even though man had the intellect, he had the ability to name all of the animals based on their characteristics, based on the things that they did, lo natan bo yetzer hara ad achlo min ha'etz. God did not give man a yetzer hara until he ate from the tree. And then, v'nichnas bo yetzer hara, then, after he ate from the fruit, the yetzer hara entered man, v'yada ma bein tov l'ra, and then he knew the difference between good and bad. Right? So Siftei Chachamim, who's a perush on Rashi, Siftei Chachamim Tzadi here explains like this. He says, and I'm sorry, I don't have it on your sheet for you, v'yesh lomar, he says, so we see from this, we can say from this, Shelo machmat chisaron chachma, that it wasn't, this lack of embarrassment wasn't due to a lack of intelligence on man's part, right? Like a baby isn't intelligent enough to know that it's naked, right? When a baby's in a bath or you take off a diaper, you know, it's aware of the change in temperature or whatever. It knows that it's comfortable or not, but it's not aware enough to, like, you know, say, hey, I should be covered. So it wasn't from lack of intelligence that man didn't feel shame at being uncovered. Ela machmat shelo yutzrichin leida derech tzniut klal. But it was really because man did not have a need to know the ways of tzniut at all at this point, kevan shelo hayalahem yetzer hara, because man and Chava did not have yetzer hara.
Just want to make sure I understood. Are you saying before they ate, they didn't have emotions that were...
Not they didn't have emotions, but their actions were not guided by emotion, right? So we'll explain it a little bit better in a minute, for real, but we'll get into the Ramban in a minute. But essentially, man did what he was supposed to do because he was supposed to do it. And it wasn't a choice made based on, you know, whether he wanted to or not. He just knew that he should. Okay. So the idea of Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer HaRa, according to this, did not exist for man before the original Chet. Right? So in order to understand what that means, we have to kind of define the concept of Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer HaRa. What is a Yetzer HaTov? Right? What does that mean? What's a Yetzer HaRa? If man didn't have Yetzer HaRa before the Chet, then how did he get it afterward? You know, contrary to popular belief, a lot of people like kind of picture the Yetzer HaTov as the little angel sitting on one shoulder, right? Like we saw in the cartoons, and the Yetzer HaRa is the devil, and they kind of like talk at you at the same time. You should totally do this. No, you shouldn't do that. That's really bad, right? And that's not really what a Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer HaRa, that's not what they are. The Shoresh Yud Zadi Resh, right? Yitzira, it means to create, right? So our Yetzer is just that with which we're created. Your Yetzer is your nature. So before the Chet, man only had one Yetzer, right? What's his Yetzer? That was just an intelligent existence, naturally to make choices that he's supposed to make, right? So again, without the influence of emotion, right? Once he eats from the Eitz Hadat Tov V'ra, then he and Chava have an awareness of both sides of their actions. So it's not just that they're doing, it's they have an awareness that they can do things for good reasons and they can do things for bad reasons, right? But that Yetzer HaRa, that nature to do something for the wrong reasons, is what doesn't exist in man before the sin. Is that...
Yeah, so it's almost like they were more like animals before, and...
Excellent. That's where we're going. Hang on.
Oh, sorry.
Hang on. No, don't. Please. You're perfect. That's great. So according to the Ramban, a Yetzer HaTov would be choosing to use one's nature and one's natural abilities for the good. And then once it enters man, so to speak, a Yetzer HaRa would be choosing to use one's nature and natural abilities for the bad. And so my students then asked me this question, and this is actually what Rachel found directly discussed in the Mora Nevuchim, right? It seems then, and we're going to read the actual text of the Mora Nevuchim in a little bit, it seems then that God's punishment to man for disobeying the command not to eat from the Eitz HaDaat is free will, right? So how can that be? How can it be that disobeying God is, you know, the punishment is free will, which we really view as being the greatest blessing, right? That's what makes man man. That's what makes us who we are. So before we jump into that Mora Nevuchim, which we will, I want to start with this. When man is placed in Gan Eden and he's told that he may eat from any tree other than the Eitz HaDaat Tov V'ra. Right? Again, if you look back at source 3, right? The Eitz HaDaat was one of many trees with beautiful, delicious fruit, right? God made kol Eitz Nechmad l'mar'eh v'tov l'ma'achal. God made every type of tree grow in Gan Eden that looked good, that tasted good, right? The Eitz HaDaat is only one of many. So what would make Adam and Chava, whose nature before the Chet is to objectively do what God wants them to do, why would they eat from the only tree that has a prohibition attached to it? Like, if they're objectively able to make these decisions, what makes them do that? If you look at Source 5, Source 5 is the 8 psukim that are the actual Chet of Adam and Chava. And if we And if we look at it, the Nachash begins a conversation with Chava about what she is and is not allowed to eat in the garden. And Chava says, yeah, we're actually allowed to have the fruit from all of the trees except one. V'hanachash haya arum mikol chayot hasadeh asher asa Hashem Elokim. The Nachash was the most tricky, according to some translations, but he was the smartest of, the most perceptive of all of the animals that God had made. Vayomer al ha'isha, the Nachash said to the woman, Af ki amar Elokim lo te'achlu mikol eitz hagan? Did God say that you can't eat from any of the trees of the garden? Vatomar ha'ishal ha'nachash, Chava says to the Nachash, no, mipri eitz hagan nochal. I'm sorry, nochal. We should eat. We're allowed to eat from the fruits of the trees of the garden. Umipri ha'eitz asher betoch hagan, but only from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, Amar Elokim, God said, Lo tochlu mimenu velo tifku'u bo pen temutun. It was only from that tree that God said you can't eat from it and you can't touch it because otherwise you're going to die. Vayomer ha'nachash al ha'isha, the Nachash says to the woman, Lo mot temutun, you're not going to die. Ki yodeh Elokim ki biyom achalcha mimenu v'nifkechu einechem. God knows that when you eat from that tree, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to have this new awareness. And you'll be like gods, you'll be like the angels, according to some, and you'll know the difference between good and bad, but you're not going to die. Vatera ha'isha ki tov ha'etz l'ma'achal. The woman saw that the tree looked good to eat. V'chi ta'ava hu le'inayim, and it was very visually appealing, right? It created a desire when you looked at it. V'nechmad ha'etz l'haskil. And the tree was had this added bonus that it would give knowledge. Vatikach mipirio vatochal. She took from its fruit and she ate. Vatitein gam leisha ima. She gave also to her husband with her. Vayochal, and he also ate. Vatipakachna ine shnehem. Their eyes were opened, right? They had this new awareness. Vayedu, and they knew. Ki erumim heim, that they were naked. They understood what it meant. Vayitpiru ale te'ena. Vayasu lahem chagorot. And so they sewed together leaves from the fig tree, and they made belts for themselves. They like made garments with which to cover themselves. Vayishmu et kol Hashem Elokim italech began l'ruach hayom. They heard the sound of Hashem, the voice of Hashem, going in the garden toward the sun. Vayitchabe ha'adam v'ishto mipnei Hashem Elokim betoch etz hagan. And so the man and his wife hid from before God among the trees of the garden. If we look at this story, if we skip the beginning of the first pasuk, the very beginning of the first pasuk tells us that the Nachash had an ulterior motive in having this discussion with Chava. We know that he wants to lead Chava to sin. But if you skip that first part, then really, this is a philosophical discussion. Why can't you eat from the Eitz Hadaat Tov V'Ra? Because Hashem said not to. Well, that's just because he knows that if you eat from it, then you're going to get this knowledge, right? And so it's just a debate. Like, why aren't you doing it? Because God said not to. Yeah, but so what, right? God has this reason for it. So what really causes, if you look at the actual source, what causes Chava to sin? It's the underlined Pasuk Vav. What really tempts Chava to eat the fruit is its appearance, the first thing that's written there, right? What tempts her? Ki tov ha'etz l'ma'achal. She saw that it was good for eating. V'chi ta'ava hu le'inayim, and that it was pleasing to the eyes. That it's something that breeds a desire when you see it, a desire to eat it. And then the third factor there is v'nechmad ha'etz l'haskil. The third factor is, oh hey, it has this added bonus that it's going to give me wisdom. So the most motivating factor is the fruit's appeal to her physical senses. And if you look at Rav Hirsch is source 6. Rav Hirsch says that, and this was your question also, so that's fantastic. Rav Hirsch says that the contrast between man and animal is how we either prove ourselves or how we fall, right? So how we act versus how animals act is how we prove ourselves as people. He says it was animal wisdom, right? The wisdom of the first animal, which lured the first human beings from their duty. It was the logic of the Nachash that lured Chava and then Adam from what they were supposed to do. Today, it's the same animal wisdom which serves as midwife to every sin. So it's our animal nature that causes us to sin. Animals have instinct. Animals act completely on instinct. So for an animal, when they do something, that's how God is talking to them, right? That's the voice of God to them. That's the will of God. So what they do in accordance with this divine providence, which rules within them, is good. They can't do anything else, right? They do exactly what they feel they're supposed to do. So by acting on instinct, they're doing tov, right? They're doing what they're supposed to do. They can't do anything else. Everything that instinct keeps back from them, Rav Hirsch says, that's what would be bad to them. That would be their ra. But they hear the voice of God just in terms of, okay, go this way, go that way. You're hungry, you smell this prey, go take care of it. Right? So that's animals' understanding of tov and ra. Animals do no wrong. They only have their one nature that they're to follow. Not so man. This is not true for man. Man is to decide for the good, and eschew evil from his own free choice and from the consciousness of his duty. Right? We are told externally, this is what you're supposed to do. Right? And we, of our own free choice, have to do what we're supposed to do. And we have to not do what we're not supposed to do. Sensual enjoyment for man is to be a moral, free-willed act. We're supposed to enjoy things. We're supposed to pleasure our senses, but in the right contexts. Man is never and in no ways whatsoever to be an animal. For that purpose, man has both sensuality and godliness within him. That's the combination of the spiritual and the physical pieces of man. So we have to distinguish ourselves from animals by remaining cognizant of our obligations to God. And it's not a question of intelligence, because the Nachash in the Torah was an intelligent animal. But an animal's instincts tell him what Hashem wants him to do. People are literally told by God what God expects of them, and then man has to use his free will to follow God's commands. And Adam and Chava know this. So Rav Hirsch continues to explain that it was the most clever representative of the animal world who challenges the basic yetzer, the basic nature of Adam and Chava, and their basic nature was to follow the word of God. Right? In Paragimel Pasuk Aleph, the Nachash says, Af ki amar Elohim, right? The word af could mean afilu, right? He says to Chava, even if Hashem said it, I don't know why or how you could pass over the best, most beautiful, most enjoyable food in the entire garden. I don't understand your dilemma here, Chava. The second paragraph of the Rav Hirsch, the human being, Chava, had already presented Hashem's prohibition as the reason for not eating. So the Nachash is, well, even if God has said so, is that a reason that you have to obey? I don't understand you, Chava. Isn't the instinct within you the voice of God like it is for the animals? If eating it is bad for you, then why did he make the food appealing to you? Right? And that's the argument. If you keep reading a little bit, that's the argument that the Nachash gives. Thus spoke the serpent, and thus speaks animal wisdom to us still today, either straight out or cloaked in philosophical covering, when a direct prohibition of God holds us at a distance from alluring enjoyment of our senses. Right? The Nachash says, okay, so, but if God didn't want you to have it, he wouldn't have put it there in front of you. And every time we're tempted with chait, that's what we have. We have this argument in our heads, well, but I really want to do that. This really looks like something I want to do. Yeah, but God said not to, right? And so that's what Chava does, right? And so from what we learned earlier in Rashi and Ramban, we know that before the chait, Adam and Chava don't have this yetzer hara. They fulfilled the will of God as their nature. But by defying the will of God here, they actually alter their nature, right? So they're created with their basic nature to do Ratzon Hashem easily, And now they changed their basic essential nature. And that's why in Pasuk Chet, when they hear Hashem's voice, they hide from it. Rav Hirsch says that the voice of Hashem, if you look at the word, the voice of Hashem is mitalech in the Gan, right? Mitalech is hitpa'el, right? It's reflective. It's something that you do to yourself. So how is God's voice mitalech? How is he doing something to himself? Rav Hirsch says that Hashem is retreating into his own sphere. He's kind of going away from Adam and Chava, with whom he'd have this like huge exposure before, because Hashem's voice can only reach man when he distinguishes himself from animals, right? God's voice won't reach you if you're acting according to your animal nature. And Adam and Chava are hiding mipnei Hashem. They're hiding from the face of God. They're not able, Rav Hirsch says, to stand lifnei Hashem. They're not able to stand before God because they realize that they're no longer able to master their senses in the same way as they had been able to before. They've now tasted this etadat tovara, so they have this ability to kind of connect to their senses in a way that they didn't before. And so we can go back to my students' questions that they asked on this. And it's stated very clearly in the Rambam and Perek Bet of Mora Nevuchim, and the Rambam says that this question was asked to him. And, you know, again, it tells you how amazing my students are, that they ask these questions, that the Rambam is bringing in Mora Nevuchim, right? Amara Maksha, right? The Rambam says, the person asking him the question said, Mipshuto shel mikra nira, it seems from the pshat in the psukim here, Shehakavana harishona hayita, Shehaadam yiyah kishaar ba'alei chayim. It seems that God's original intention for man was that he would be like other animals, b'li sechel uv'li machshava, without logic and without thought, v'lo yavchin bein tov l'ra, and without the ability to distinguish between good and bad. V'cha'asher himra et pi ha'el, when he rebelled against God, when he went against the command of God, garamlo meriyo behechrech et hashlemut hagdola bioter la'adam. It seems that his action caused him to have the greatest perfection that man can have. V'hi shetiyelo havchana zot hamtuya banu. And that is this ability to distinguish, this ability to choose, right, free choice that we have now, right? Havchana zot hi anichbeda mikol atchunot hamtzuyot lanu, right? This free choice is the greatest of all of our characteristics. Uba'avura anu atzamim, right? And that's what makes us different than everybody else. Umaflihu, the person asking the question says, it seems astonishing. She'on shosh al meriyo hu shenitna lo shleimut shelo hayitalo. It seems astonishing that the punishment for his rebellion would be that he would be given greater perfection, which he never had. V'hi asechal, and that is logic, that's his understanding. Ein za ela kidivrei haomer she'ish min ha'anashim hamrat pi'ael v'hi flig b'pish'o v'az shinu tzurato v'asa uhu kochav b'shamayim. It's like saying that somebody was a rebellious person, and so as a punishment for that, his nature was changed and he became like a shining star, right? He says it doesn't make sense, right? He says it doesn't make sense. So hopefully with what we've done, you have a sense of what the Rambam is going to answer. The Rambam actually says that man is created with intellect, right? He has intelligence. It's not that man was created the same as animal. Man has intelligence and it allows him to distinguish between right and wrong. What he doesn't have was knowledge of morality. If you look at the underlined parts, and I'll read it kind of briefly. V'ilu miguna v'yafe hei mina mufursamot v'lo mina muskalot. Right? The ideas of bad, like what's something that's despicable to do, and yafe, something that's good to do, Those are very subjective terms. Good and bad are subjective. V'lo mina muskalot. They're not logical. They're not objective. Bilshonenu ha'ivrit anu omrim al ha'nachon v'ha'kozev emet v'sheker. In Hebrew, when we're talking about what's right and what's wrong, we call it truth, emet, and sheker. We call it truth and falsehood. V'al ha'yafeh v'ha'meguneh, and that which is good, so to speak, that which is right, and that which is wrong, we call that tov and ra. Right? Those are the definitions. So he says that there's a huge difference between truth and falsehood, and good and bad. Ka'asher haya Adam harishon b'matzavo hashalem hagamur biyoter. When Adam harishon was in his original state, right, when he was in his original state in Gan Eden, then lo hayalo bichlal koach hamiyuad la'asok b'mefursamot. Adam did not have the ability to engage in morality. That was the discussion, that was the mindset that he didn't have, right? He knew very well what was tov and what was ra. V'chasher hemret pi ha'el v'natala eivar ta'avato hadimyonot v'tanugot chushav ha'gufaniyim. But when he does the chait, then he starts submitting to his physical senses and his physical desires, right? And he says, "Na'anash bekach shenishlala mimenu ota hasaga sichlit." So his punishment was that he loses part of his seichel. He loses part of his objective logic. So he's no longer able to make choices without being influenced by emotion, right? So before the chait, he's only involved in what is emet and what is sheker, what's true and what's false. And he did have the choice of whether or not to follow the command of God, right? Because God does give him this mitzvah. So he has to choose. Am I going to follow what God says or am I not? But when he makes that choice, he doesn't have a nature that gives way to desires that can pull him away from God. Right, and what do we call a nature that gives way to desires that pull you away from God? That's the Yetzer Hara. So man is able to make objective decisions regarding, am I going to do what God wants me to do or not? So original, for Adam HaRishon, before the Chait, it was easy for him. It was easy for man to do what was expected of him. But once he's guided by desires and emotions, then he has to deal with questions of morality, right? Is what I'm about to do, is it morally tov? Is it good? Or is it ra? Or is it bad, right? Whereas before it was, does God want me to do this? Is it emet? Or does God not want me to do this? Is it sheker? So each of the principal characters involved in the chait, Adam and Chava and the Nachash, they each receive individual punishments. But as a result of his new state of moral understanding, which could lend itself to corruption, Adam is sent out of Gan Eden, and that's source 8. Vayas Hashem Elokim la'Adam elisho ketonot or, I'm sorry, katnot or vayal bishem. Hashem made for Adam and his wife clothing of leather, and he dressed them, right? Again, because they're aware now that there are ways in which naked bodies can be used for bad things or in bad contexts. And so he dresses them. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Heina Adam haya ke'achad mimenu ladat tov v'ra. Man now has the ability to understand morality. He has the ability to have moral dilemmas. V'yata penishlach yadov l'kach gam me'etz ha'chaim. So now to prevent him from continuing to eat from the tree of life and live forever, v'achal v'chai le'olam, Vayashlicheu Hashem Elokim migan Eden. Hashem sent him out of Gan Eden la'avod et ha'adama asher lokach misham. Right, to Hashem took him out of, sent him out of Gan Eden to work the land. After this happens, after morality is discovered and he's sent out of Gan Eden, the rest of Parshiot Bereishit and Noach contain a series of stories where man is faced with moral dilemmas and then their consequences, right? Cain could not have killed Hevel. Why did Cain kill Hevel? because he was jealous, because he was angry. Why does that happen? Right? Because his decisions are guided by his emotions, right? You have these moral dilemmas starting with leaving Gan Eden. And at the end of Parshat Noach, which begins with the world's destruction as a result of corruption, we meet Avraham. And what's the job of the descendants of Avraham? The job of the descendants of Avraham is L'taken Olam v'malchut Shakai. We're supposed to fix the world, fix that part of the world through our written code of morality. Right? What's our written code of morality? What tells us what is morally right and morally wrong according to the will of God? We have the Torah, right? But without that chet, there would be no need for a written Torah, right? The Midrash Bereishit Rabbah says, he stakel ba'oraita uvara alma. And when God created the world, he created it with what he felt was objectively right and wrong, right? Perek Lamed of Sefer Dvarim, and you've got the first 10 psukim there in Source 9. It describes a return to Eretz Yisrael from all of the places where we've been spread out in Galut, right? When all of these things happen, when the blessings and curses that God has placed before us happen, and we, the Hashevot Elevavecha, we do teshuvah while we are in Galut, then Vishavta Ad Hashem Elokecha Vishamata Bekolo, and we will do teshuvah and we will listen to the voice of God, right? We'll do what God expects of us. With all of our hearts and with all of our souls. What happens then? What happens when we are among other nations and we rediscover, hey, this is what God says is Tov and this is what God says is Ra? V'shav Hashem Elokecha et Shvutcha. Then God will bring us back. He will return us to his land. He will gather us from all of the nations where we have been spread out. I want to jump to Pasuk Vav. The wording in Dalet and Hay is, of course, gorgeous. But Pasuk Vav, Umal Hashem Elokecha et Levavcha vet Levav Zarecha. Hashem will do a milah. He will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your children. Why? Lahavat Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. So you will love Hashem, your God, l'ma'an chayacha, in order that you will live. That seems to be kind of a strange concept. Your heart doesn't need a circumcision, right? It's something that's within you. When we talk about the heart, we tend to talk about emotions. So what does it mean to have a lev mahul, to have a circumcised heart, so to speak? The Ramban, at the very bottom of the page, it's source 10, the Ramban says that in the time of Mashiach, it will once again be easy for us to choose to do good without being influenced by our desires, like it was in the time of Adam HaRishon before the Chait. If you look just at the underlined parts, Aval Yimot HaMashiach, in the days of Mashiach, Tiyah HaBchira B'tov Lahem Teva, choosing good, choosing to do, again, Tov is objective good. Is subjective good, morally good. In the time of Mashiach, choosing Tov is going to be natural for man. Lo yitzaveh lahem halev lema she'eino ra'uy. A person's heart will no longer desire to do what it's not supposed to do. V'lo yachpotz bo klal. Man's not going to want to do what's wrong anymore. V'yashuv ha'adam, again, just the underlined parts. V'yashuv ha'adam bazman ha'hu la'asher haya kodem chet'o shel adam harishon. At that time, in the time of Mashiach, man will return to the state that he was in before the chet of Adam harishon. Shehaya ose b'tiv'o ma shera'uy la'asot. When man did naturally what he was supposed to do, v'lo hayalo birtzono davar v'hafcho, man didn't want to do something and its opposite. Man didn't look at both sides. Should I do this? What will be the tov if I do this? Should I not do this? What will be the ra? Right? It was natural. You did what you were supposed to do. And if you jump to that bottom line, v'zehu bitul yetzer hara, this is what it means when to get rid of one's yetzer hara. This is what's going to happen. Your heart is going to do naturally, is going to want to do the right thing, right? So the key to this, though, according to the Ramban, in that first line, is that which Chazal tell us. It's Masechet Shabbat, Daf Kuf Dalet, Amud Aleph, right? Habala Taher Misayinoto, right? That one who wants to become tahor, and you know, tuman tahor are misunderstood. Tahor means that you are ready for service of God. So habala taher, one who wants to become tahor, one who wants to serve God, misayinoto, God helps him to get there. Right? And those are the psukim that we have in the beginning of this parak. When we choose to become close to God, then God will help us return to him. Right? And I think that we are all so busy. Like, just as women in general, we are so busy. We have so many things to do every day. And I think that, I can't believe how many people are here on a Monday. I think that everyone coming together to learn Torah for 2 days really speaks volumes about us being ba'ot l'taher, right? We are really people who want to come close to God. So let's hope that 3 weeks start tomorrow, crazy stuff, that we're zochim to spend this Tisha B'Av with a Lev Mahul in a peaceful, please God, Yerushalayim. Thanks for listening. Thanks, everybody.